You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
OneofUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneofUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Having quite the year, isn't she?
For real?
You know, I mean, like high profile performance driven role in Arrival first.
I know.
And now, of course, with Nocturnal Animals, where she looks like, good lord, she looks like a top fashion model throughout this thing.
A fashion model raccoon.
A fashion model raccoon?
Yeah, because her eyes are always just super, like, black the entire... Because she never sleeps. She's a nocturnal animal.
She is like a raccoon.
Yeah. Like the... Oh, you mean like the title of the film.
Like the title of the movie.
You just got that?
No, I did not.
Jesus Christ, keep up, man.
This is directed by Tom Ford, who is formerly a top... top of the heap fashion designer who's gone on as well in various different types of art. Like, one of those interesting guys whose career has kind of evolved, who clearly just wants to do everything. Mm-hmm. And he proved he could be a filmmaker with A Simple Man, which was released to, you know, glowing reviews. I've still never fucking seen it.
I am in the same boat.
That was the one of those Oscar movies that just I kept... forgetting to go see. Like, yeah. I missed my window.
You know what's even worse? They were talking about it today, and I pretended, like, I didn't pretend like I'd seen it, but I didn't pretend like I hadn't seen it. I just, you know, you just listened along, like, oh, yeah, Simple Man. I don't think I watch movies.
I don't think you have to necessarily volunteer your lack of experience. You just, what's that expression? It's better to remain quiet and leave in question whether you're an idiot than to open your mouth and prove it unquestionably.
Yeah.
It would be funny if none of us had seen A Simple Man, but we were all just trying to be like, oh yeah,
it's a great movie. Yeah. The best movie ever made.
In this particular film, Amy Adams plays Susan Morrow. When we meet her, she is a very wealthy art gallery owner, opening with, by the way, one of the most disturbing openings of any film, probably.
It reminded me that I need to hit the gym. I am not in shape at all, and like, you know, this isn't like any kind of fat shaming. More power to these people. They are braver than I. I have a hard time going to the pool without shirt. So
yeah,
more power to them.
Busted the stereotype. You usually think of like larger women having low self esteem. Nah,
these
women have high self esteem. The standards have been raised, fellas.
But it wasn't even like that. They were like necessarily because they were just overweight. They were also like, you know, middle aged and totally butt ass naked and dancing around with sparklers.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of
way possible.
There was a lot of chatter in the theater when that scene was going.
They're like, what is happening with this movie? And that's like to start off, you're like, that's her, the art show she's promoting, but she comes back from and she's clearly like, she's not even digging it anymore. She's like in a position of like, I'm not really feeling anything in my life. Nothing seems to have real meaning. And she's married to Armie Hammer, who is, you know, the very picture of, like, the evolved frat boy done good, you
know. He's playing 50% of the Winklevoss twins.
Yes, he is. And their marriage is obviously, like, coldly on the rocks. Like, they have no time to see each other. They have, like, you know, he's always off on business trips. There's an iciness there, but a polite iciness.
Yeah, air quotes, business trips.
But she gets in the mail a book called Nocturnal Animals.
That was
Raccoon Eyes.
Yeah, it was written by her ex-husband, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and which is where we first hear about him. And he's like, hey, I really want you to read this book. It's even dedicated to her, and she starts reading it. And that's when the movie starts turning into three movies. First off, you've got the story of the book, which is we see played out, and is actually the bulk of the film time of this movie, which
for
is
sure.
A story about Jake Gyllenhaal, his wife, and his daughter are on a trip across West Texas. They are forced off the road by a car full of rednecks, including I didn't even realize it was him, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
What?
Yeah. As the leader of the rednecks, who is proving that, like, maybe he's got more chops than I gave him credit for.
Oh, yeah, he's frightening in this movie. I mean, especially now, like, in a... Now that Trump is elected president, this is the single scariest scene I've seen in a movie all year. I just felt a little too real right now. Yeah, I mean, it's become reality for quite a few people.
Just thinking of Aaron Taylor Johnson, Trump.
But it's almost a horror movie, as like he is. Yeah. Like,
oh yeah,
like they're acting as if they're not doing anything wrong, but they're assaulting these people basically, and end up leaving in a car with his wife and daughter, and he manages to sort of by a mistake from one of them get away, but then is left having no idea what happened, and it goes on with where he meets Michael Shannon, who turns in a Best Supporting Actor nominatable performance as this West Texas detective who is determined to help him. Regardless of what the law says.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just great. And I don't want to go too deep into what happens in
the
story.
Yeah, but a very plausible, like... sorry, I almost gave it away. Referencing another movie. Nope. Not today.
I went to this movie knowing very little about it. I caught, like, maybe the tail end of the trailer when I went to go see Christine over the weekend. And the way I was seeing all these events unfold, one, it's incredibly terrifying, but I was expecting... Maybe some kind of, not quite, maybe like a pulled back Death Wish type of movie. Instead, what we got, at least in the book's story, it feels more kind of like Blue Ruin, I guess. Like a Southern Gothic version of Blue Ruin.
Yeah, of that story, yes.
And yeah, it's fully engaging.
The novel part of it is fully engaging. But the other story we get is the flashback as she's reading this thing. And by the way, she's like the most dramatic reader of all time. Anytime she stops, she's practically throwing the book across the room or something. You're like, what are you doing? Who reads like that?
Stares out the window.
Animals are dying around her.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, she goes this, dead. Like flies all over the window like the Amityville Horror. She's remembering back to when she first met Jake Gyllenhaal, how their relationship went, their marriage failing, her meeting and cheating with Armie Hammer. And it's clear that the movie is trying to draw parallels throughout between what's being written in this book, which she finds as deeply involving as I feel like the audience does, but is also even more deeply disturbed because there's clear and obvious parallels that the people in this movie are representative of her and him. And I feel like, and this is after having read the synopsis for the book as well, that aspect, the aspect of this book was meant to be kind of threatening in a way to her, or at the very least an act of revenge.
Yeah.
Is never really translated very well in the film.
I didn't think so either. In fact, you're absolutely right. The film is, the thing I was really engaged about the film is that I was watching this, expecting to find some kind of like, something really horrible happened to them in the past and maybe broke up their marriage because something really traumatic happened, and you're waiting for that reveal. And without going too deep into it, I could see where the connections are, but it's still like, so that's it.
But that's even in the trailer, they emphasize the sequence where she's like, I did something really horrible to him. It's unforgivable. And you're like, you're waiting because of the nature of how heavy this book is for it to have been something really bad. You're like, you cheated on him. Okay. Well, let me
bring it back into what this movie is doing, because as we've discussed, there are two stories that are being told. Essentially, Amy Adams' character is given this book and she's reading the book, and they're going back and forth from this great written story that kind of goes into horror at moments and just kind of this really abstract story around it. The things that happen in the book are so frightening and so devastating. And the things that happen in this more abstract story are just very mundane. Like you said, cheating, arguments with conservative parents, just very mundane things. I felt the movie was really trying to draw a parallel between how people think those things feel and how, no, those things really do feel like. We think it's the end of the world. No, this is what the end of the world feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, We're sitting here complaining about an argument we had with our mother at dinner, and we're talking about, oh, you know, I want to die, or this or that. And kind of this commentary on society and how dramatic we can be.
Well, like, you're saying that, like, how the book is meant to show her that this act that she did to him in his life, that she was able to move past with all too much ease to him, was really as bad as the events that happened in the novel. It was
exactly.
So incredibly a horror story and just completely devastating that to try and make her understand what she actually did, which is, to be fair, a bit hyperbolic of anybody to try
and
sell it.
Well, and here's the thing. I would say almost, and here's why. I don't think necessarily the character in the movie was intending to do that. Mm-hmm. I think the filmmaker was intending for us to feel that way, though.
Uh-huh. I don't think that worked, though. I don't think it translated. Not for me, anyway.
Yeah.
In fact, like I said, you've got this great movie that is the novel that's super edgier seat watching, but then everything else is just kind of like you get it, right? But cold and, like, not very involving. And I think part of the problem, Amy Adams, who we know is such a great actress,
oh, yeah,
is left to just kind of give this empty performance in this
film. She actually
film.
Was one of my least favorite things in the movie.
Yeah, they just don't here, give yeah. her,
and she's on the poster.
I'm glad you said that, because that was actually something that I was thinking, am I wrong here? Like, I was starting to think to myself, like, am I reading this right, that this is, like, I'm seeing a connection between what actually happened and what happens in the book? Or is it just that she's kind of projecting herself into that story? Like, maybe she's looking for some subtext that isn't actually there.
Yeah.
Maybe just he wrote a really dark story, but because she fucked him over so badly that she thinks this book is about her. I mean, aside from the fact that, okay, yeah, Nocturnal Animal was like a nickname that he gave her, and yeah, the book's dedicated to her, but might not be just, that might just be it. That could be a possibility. That's something else I was trying to figure out last night.
Well, the very, very ending belies that, though, I guess. You know, which I'm just kind of like, but it does it in such a wishy-washy way that I was like, I still don't know what to think about what happened.
It feels like the by the time it reaches its conclusion, yeah, it's underwhelming. It feels like the revenge fantasy of some internet neckbeard or something.
Well, no, underwhelming definitely, but I think to the point, you can't argue that. Like, the ending very much kind of solidifies the point, like, how this guy feels about her without giving too much away, because, I mean, it is the ending of the movie. But it's not a satisfying ending.
No.
By no means. But I do think that if you really think of the subtext of what's happening there, what he has done, what she has done, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a big F you.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it also isn't that big of an F you. It's almost
a very subtle F you.
It's passive. It's a passive aggressive F you. You know,
it's driving by, giving the person a finger, and that's it.
Pretty much.
You know, everybody's listening to this review, going, "Damn, I got to get to the end of this movie just to find out what the hell they're talking about."
The thing is, like, so much of the watching this novel is so tense, but there's nothing tense in the events surrounding it. I mean, even when we're going back in their flashbacks, we never really see the fire. Any fire, really. I mean, they keep focusing on how, like, he is, like kind and smart, but, like, has been accused, including by her mother, played corny but fun by Laura Linney, you know, as a rich debutante type. Yeah,
Holy
I know.
Holy shit, didn't realize I know. That.
He has to tell me that, too.
I sat there thinking, who the fuck is that?
He's weak, is the thing. And she is, you know, they establish, oh, she's so scared of becoming her mother. Oh, I'm not, she's not like you think he is. He's strong. I don't want to, I'm nothing like you. And as it goes along, I mean, obviously part of the point of the film is of her, like, him in the book being terrified that maybe he was weak, you know, him establishing that maybe I was too weak. Maybe I should have fought even harder for this marriage. Right. But, and then her coming to terms with, which you think, how could you not have by now of, yeah, you became your mom completely.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and a lot earlier than you know, like after like a year after you said you're not nothing like your mom, pretty much. But those aren't, they don't feel terribly tangible, though, or you just, they're there, well, but they're just kind of floating there, and you just don't care that
and
much.
Also, it's
abstract.
Yeah. It's an abstract story.
And also, like, I don't know, I found myself buying the novel much more than the main thread of the story, which is Amy Adams' life. Because it feels to me like their portrayal of the L.A. scene, now, Grant, I've only been to L.A. once, didn't really immerse myself in the art scene there. But it feels to me like they presented L.A. the way that people like Amy Adams' character's mother perceives people in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was actually – I was talking to Frank earlier. He missed out on this review. But he made that point too. He goes, she lives in a very different L.A. than normal L.A. She lives in this isolated L.A.
It's gentrified.
Where, yeah,
super gentrified.
Where she can send her, all of her servants out for the weekend, and it's like, dude, there is nobody out here for the weekend. You are there by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would have been cool if it turned into like a horror thriller at that point.
That's what I was thinking,
maybe, like, yeah.
Well, because she's totally living in one of those all glass houses and stuff, which could have been a metaphor in and of itself. And you're just like constantly in these shots, and like, you can't really see what's outside. And I was waiting, like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal's out there with a knife.
Exactly. I was expecting that throughout the whole movie. And even with what little I caught of the trailer, and I read the synopsis on IMDb when he emailed me about this, I'm like, okay, this sounds interesting. I was expecting something like that, especially like now that I now, when I think of Jake Gyllenhaal, I think of Nightcrawler.
Yeah. I still think Donnie Darko, which, by the way, this was kind of a reunion. Jenna Malone was in this, too.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even think about that until obviously.
I've only seen Donnie Darko. I'll be not a fan of Donnie Darko, but, like, I love Nightcrawler, and I was thinking that, like, this is him playing, I wonder if it's him playing a similar character, someone who is that unhinged. And it turns out, no, he's just a guy with a chip on his shoulder about his marriage falling apart.
And hasn't gotten over it.
Yeah.
I've been bagging very hard on this movie in this review, but I do want to express that I generally more enjoyed this a lot more than I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because of A, that the novel story we're watching is incredibly strong. It's so strong, partially based on Gyllenhaal's, once again, just knock your socks off performance in it.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, there are points, just the intensity of his pain and anger is frightening to watch him do it. You know, you're like, Jesus, man, you're going to have a heart attack. it's a Oscar caliber performance. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a nod for it this year, but he might once again get snubbed. Like he gets snubbed for all his great performances.
Oh yeah.
As well, Michael Shannon, you know, who is a surprise when Shannon has a particularly strong role, even if it's a tiny one. Like he was one of my favorite things in even Loving this year, which he has a tiny role, but you just love the shit out of him in it when he appears. Here, he's just so strong as the sheriff that he brings so much depth and color to, and yet he feels so totally grounded as well. Such a strong story, so scary and involving and sad and frightening. It's just wonderful. As well, the art direction here is breathtaking, just absolutely beautiful. Even if a lot of it is confusing, the director tries to draw parallels with imagery that don't really seem to have a story-based parallel quite often in this film. And I'm like, so what are you saying there, dude? I felt like there's a lot of obfuscation that is there because he thought it was beautiful rather than it had any real meaning.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those films that you see multiple times and you think about more each time you see it, or maybe just think about more after this first time you've seen it and start to, you know, kind of assess meaning to some of the things that you saw.
I don't disagree. After only one viewing, it definitely made me go, I need a few months and then come back to it again and watch it again. Mm-hmm. Because it is a film that is difficult to unpack. And
yeah, it's like we're still processing
it. Yeah, there's a lot of layers of stuff going on, but I question whether or not the movie is indeed as deep as the director makes you think it is. And maybe it is,
but then again,
maybe it's not. So, he has obfuscated said meaning very deeply. And I think this was my big problem. If I'm supposed to care about those other two-thirds of the film, then why? Why am I supposed to care? What am I supposed to be feeling? And that's just pretty much brings me to my final thoughts there, which is that I think this is a solid effort. I think it shows that Tom Ford definitely is a rare talent, but like maybe his innate sense as a, you know, different kind of artist of wanting to establish sort of visual beauty, like overwhelmed his ability to be a storyteller. Maybe Once again, it's the jury's still out, but on one watch, that's what I got from it. But one, there's no denying the strength of the cinematography, the strength of the performances, which are just solid, with the exception of Amy Adams, which isn't her fault. It's not like she's not pulling off something she's supposed to
do.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
The director just gives her, clearly wants her to seem as shallow and empty as possible. And it's not, other than the fact that she's just breathtakingly gorgeous in this film, the way they have her,
sure.
have her looking, she's not very interesting to watch. But I did like this. I do recommend seeing it and deciding for yourself. I have a feeling this is going to really resonate with some people who are going to really, like, who are just going to... In fact, I talked to Martin, who said it was his favorite movie this year.
Huh.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no telling. I did think it was funny in the book version, his wife... This character is played by Isla Fisher, who I've always called, like, the poor man's Amy Adams anyway. but anyway, I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 novels with the corners pulled back to Marketplace.
Huh. I was actually thinking that we were going to be a little further off with our opinions of this.
Okay.
Because I did like it a lot. In fact, when Martin said that about his favorite movie of the year, I'm trying to think of other films that I've enjoyed as much as enjoying this one. I also like thinking a lot in movies, and this is one that it's going to make you think. I definitely, recommending it to anybody, I'm going to tell them to go into this thinking of it more as an art film. And honestly, if you don't get that from the first 30 seconds of this movie, once the title credits start, you'll know whether or not this is your thing.
Yeah.
Now, this B story that we keep talking about, this book within the movie, it's such a strong story. I mean, this could be the movie itself had they just, you know, done it differently. But together, this, it's a really interesting experience in the theater. I was just mesmerized by it. I'm still thinking about it. My roommate, she was a big fan of Simple Man and probably a bigger fan of Tom Ford, to be honest. And she's going to go see it soon. And I just keep telling her, like, I can't wait till we can, you know, gab about this. I'm going to give it a 8 out of 10 broken taillights.
Fair enough. And Mike.
Yeah, one thing I really do like about this film is, like, again, there's the parallels between, like, what actually happened and what happens in the book. As a writer myself, I do like the idea of exploring, like, what events can trigger what kind of story you can tell. It doesn't have to be a recreation of what actually happened, but you can use that frustration, those feelings you had, and apply it to something else, and I really dug it for that. The storyline with Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Shannon is some of the most intense stuff I've seen in a long time. I really, really liked it. The thing where it falls apart is that the stuff with Amy Adams reading the book and exploring the relationship, you expect a bigger outcome out of all of it. And even then, like, with the ending, it's kind of unsatisfying. Granted, you know, we don't want another couple minutes inject into a movie for a really dramatic remake of Deconstructing Harry, but I think that the movie, it falls apart in that you go in with higher expectations because the stuff with the book is so damn good. And then the rest of it just, it's watchable, it's very well shot, but it's not all that fulfilling. So, yeah, I'm going to give this a 7.5 times I had to tell myself, God damn it, get back to the gym, Mike, in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
You know, it's funny, when they spend briefly, they have a thing where you get to actually see Amy Adams at work, and all these really... I mean, there's no other word for it, but astonishingly pretentious people that she works with.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you just want to smack everyone in that building in the face? And you're looking at the art, and you're like, seriously?
And like, some of these people are just so so pretentious that it makes the characters of Neon Demon seem subtle.
It kind of does.